Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
The Christian was that he was going to send me out to Africa, but he gave me the opportunity to be a mining engineer for the next 20 years. I was that. I love mining. I loved operating underground, open pit. My last year in, I think it was 1991, I was open pit general manager in Central Nevada, a gold mine. And I went up to the mine that one day, and I walked down, way down to the valley where we had our water wells. And I looked up and I felt God speak to me, and he says, "Bob, what are you doing this for?" And I really sensed in my heart that I was so prideful of everything that I did, taking off the top of a mountain, doing all the exploration work, the feasibility studies, the production of the mine, bringing it on into production. I thought, wow, this is really great that I did all of this. And God placed me in this bottom of the valley, and he asked me, "What are you doing this for?" And I really started thinking about it and really sensed that God wanted to be doing more than just mining gold, but mining the hearts of gold. And for the last 20 years, that's what I can say that we've been doing, is mining the gold out of the hearts of the people in Central Asia. It's been a great time. As I went home that day, I shared with my wife about what I felt God had asked me, and we started praying. And as I prayed and fasted, I sensed that God spoke to me out of Genesis chapter 22. We're all very familiar with this verse, where Abraham was challenged to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he was ready to sacrifice him. He turned around and he saw the ram caught in a thicket. And we all know the verse. Abraham lifted up his eyes. He looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket of thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up with burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And he said, "To this day, in the Mount of Jehovah, I have provided." I believe that God spoke to me that day, and he says, "Bob, if you give up your career, give up everything that you've desired from the very young age, that I will be your Jehovah Jireh." And I can be a testimony tonight that God, for the last 20 years, has indeed been our Jehovah Jireh. He's been everything for us, our provider. I just want to share briefly, very, very briefly, there's so much that God has done that we've seen happen in Uzbekistan, what we're seeing happen in Afghanistan. I don't have time to share it, but we lived in Tashkent for 16 years. I ended up starting a company over there. I had no idea that I was going to be doing this. I left mining to become a pastor of pastors. I really sensed that that's what God wanted me to do, but I was totally wrong. I ended up starting a company there, Joint Development Associates International. It's a development company. We ended up having 8 field offices in Uzbekistan, 220 employees. Every one of my staff from Uzbekistan became believers. They were either believers when they started or became believers after our time there. We ministered all across the country and saw thousands come to Jesus. Not only that, but we started working in the local church, discipling the local church. And today, we are seeing missionaries from Uzbekistan go into the Russian Federation. There are 7 million Uzbeks now living in Russia as migrant workers. The economy is so bad in Uzbekistan that, just like we see the Mexicans coming up from the south to here, the Uzbeks are doing the same thing into Russia. There are 7 million of them. There are now teams of missionaries from Uzbekistan, from the Uzbek church, going to Russia. And we're working in 6 cities, or 7 cities right now: Kaliningrad, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Tuymun, Yekaterinburg, Novosibirsk. And we are mobilizing the Russian churches to reach the Uzbeks. There are hundreds and hundreds of evangelical Russian churches all across Russia. There's thousands of believers there, but they've never even thought about reaching the Muslim Uzbeks that are there sweeping the streets. They're all over the country. But we are now mobilizing the churches. We have 70 churches mobilized right now. We're still hoping for 100, 200 churches to be mobilized. And we are printing Bibles. We've printed 20,000 Bibles in Uzbek, giving out to the Russian churches. We have 50,000 copies of different types of literature. We're printing all different types of things and hope to have hundreds of thousands of copies of everything going out to these Russian churches so that they can start discipling and working with the Uzbek migrant workers. The Uzbeks speak Uzbek and they also speak Russian, so it's a very easy way for these Russian churches to be able to be part of it. So the last 11 years, I've been in Afghanistan as well. We entered Afghanistan in December 2001, right after the Taliban left the country. We have established a field office in northern Afghanistan, and we believe that we are a catalyst to the Afghans to become what their God-given abilities are. We want to be able to have them conceive their own vision for their own nation. We want to see them take their nations, their villages, and create new things with what they're doing. I know I've learned a lot in the 16 years where we were in Uzbekistan, and we're using those same principles today in Afghanistan, and we believe that development will happen there. We believe that God's kingdom will arise in Afghanistan. The church is very, very tiny. It's very persecuted, but we believe that God has a purpose there. The people are great people. I love the Afghans. We are working in 5 provinces in the north, working in over 200 villages, 45 districts. I have 60 staff working with us, 75 staff from the Ministry of Agriculture. We're working in the universities. The average farmer has 2 acres of land, and we are working with farmers, with 3,000 farmers today, teaching them with new crops for their land. We're mechanizing the farmers. They've been using oxen for these last eons of time. Their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers, that's all they've ever used. We are mechanizing them with a 2-wheel tractor from China that we've been importing. And the U.S. State Department has taken on this program, and last year they distributed 4,000 of these units across the country. We now have 5,000 2-wheel tractors all across the country, and we anticipate to see tens of thousands of them there to help increase the productivity of the land. We're harvesting wheat with tractors, we're threshing wheat, we're doing everything that they've been doing by hand with these. We have field days continuously demonstrating to the farmers. Hundreds of them are happening every day. We're teaching the farmers, we're in the universities teaching the university young students. But I think my flagship program that I would really want to talk about tonight is our water sanitation and hygiene program and our birth life-saving skills program that's run totally by Afghan women that we've trained, working with Afghan women. We're working with 800 women today in 10 villages, and it's called BLISS. BLISS is birth life-saving skills. Afghanistan has the second highest mortality rate in the world. In the first year, 165 out of 1,000 children will die. 23% of all the population have access to safe water. Only 23% have access to safe water. 12% have access to sanitation. 15% of the births are taken care of by trained health workers. 90% of the births are at home. These are the main reasons why we're doing wash and sanitation problems. If you take a look at this drinking water, need to move to the next slide. This is the typical drinking water in Afghanistan. It's a cesspool. We are drilling wells, putting water wells in the villages. We're teaching women in small groups. They are illiterate, so we teach everything with pictures and cartoons, laying them out on the floors. We teach 20 women at a time. And it's a wonderful program. It's a great program that my staff love to do. We're providing clean water to villages. We're providing clean water to schools. There's a picture of a pump, hand pump, at a school that we just did this past year. And a portion of our 60-some workers in a training meeting that I had with them last year. God has been our Jehovah Jireh. He's been our provider. We've seen millions and millions of dollars come through into our programs, nothing that we've ever been able to even seem to say that we could ever accomplish, but God has given us the abilities. He's given us great staff. We look for staff just like Jesus sent out his apostles two by two and said to find men of peace. We have found men of peace in Afghanistan. We found men of peace in Uzbekistan, and God has been our provider in all of this. Thank you very much, and it's been great to be here as part of missions, and thank you for your contributions to missions.
Give a warm welcome to David Clifton.
Thank you. You want to take a guess who I represent? You only get one chance. I want to thank Pastor George and Pastor Roger and this church, Faith Bible Chapel, for the many, many years of support. It goes all the way back to the mid or early 90s. They've been ever faithful, and you are a part of that. You are a part of saving souls. You are a part of feeding the hungry. You are a part of reaching out to the down and out. And the ministry that God entrusted me with many years ago started with a personal adventure when I was robbed of my tuition money when I was going to college in Northwest Arkansas. I had a wad of cash in my pocket, and two guys jumped me, took all my money, and I only had $5 left. I took that $5, I went to the Kentucky Fried Chicken down the street, got my last supper, so to speak, found an abandoned hotel, crashed on a dirty carpet, and before I fell asleep, I said, God, if you are real, reach out to me, and if you get me out of the situation that I'm currently in, I promise that when the day comes, I'll reach out to those that are down and out and needy. And many years passed, I was on my way to Alaska, I stopped in Denver, and I thought, this is far enough, ended up here, found a church, got recommitted to Christ, and found a little building in downtown Denver and was praying, and met a widow lady who was a born-again Christian who wanted to do something with it for God. I ended up opening up a soup kitchen, and the first day, my first experience was going down to King Soopers, getting some boxes of macaroni and cheese, getting a bucket of water, turning on the gas stove upstairs, cooking some macaroni and saying, God, send me a homeless person. I went to the other side of the kitchen, opened up the window, I looked out and I saw this shabby guy, and I said, hey, are you homeless? He looked up at me, said, yeah, do I look homeless? I said, you do, come on in and I'll feed you. He came in, I fed him. He ate everything I had. I said, do you have some friends? He said, yeah, I got a lot of them. So the next day, he brought about 20 other guys. I preached a sermon, shared Jesus Christ with them. 18 out of the 20 got saved, and then I fed them some more macaroni and cheese. And that whole thing got started as a soup kitchen in downtown Denver, and it was my promise to God that whatever he would put in my hands, I'd use it for the kingdom. I've always asked that he get the glory. People call me faith man. I don't know where it all comes from. And they say, where does it come from? How do you do this? How do you do that? Well, God uses people. He uses you. He uses this church. He uses others that hear about what he wants to do. And I just put my hands to it and I give it my all, 125%. So I remember in those days, many years ago, we got the soup kitchen rolling. It went from 20, it went to 80, it went to 150. And then it started doing 200, 300, and 400 guys a day. But God would always provide. I went back in the kitchen one day, and I saw this man with he had a pot in his hand, and I don't know if he was cooking or if he was doing dishes, but it was Pastor Roger Girard. And that's the first time I met him. And he told me about Pastor George, and he told me about Faith Bible Chapel. And it really got me excited, because I was really touched in my heart that a pastor would come down. He wasn't wearing a tie. I think you were wearing an apron that day, weren't you? And he was putting his hands to the plow. So I've always been impressed with this church, this congregation, every one of you. I couldn't do it without you, and I just want to say thank you. The soup kitchen went all the way from growing each day to where God put it on my heart for a wider vision for the world. I met a man by the name of Pastor Aubrey Marks. Some of you have met him. I met him in Nepal on a journey into Tibet to smuggle Bibles to the underground church. On the way back, I met him. He was in the airport, and one of the guys was passing out tracts. In Nepal, at that time, it was a Hindu kingdom. If you converted someone to Christ, it was a 5-year sentence in jail. At that time, if you baptized somebody and converted them, it was a 7-year sentence in jail. So we did it anyways because we were in the airport and we were heading out. So he passed out tracts. One of my friends, Tom, he hands a tract to this guy and he says, Brother, he's a pastor. He's from South Africa. I think he already knows Jesus. I said, well, I want to meet him. He comes up behind me. I shake his hand. The minute I shake his hand, the Holy Spirit talks to me and tells me I'm going to speak in his church and that he'll be the first of many pastors all around the world that become connected with our ministry, David Clifton Ministries, which is also known as the World for Jesus. And many of you in the past have known it as Jesus to the World. That became the first pastor overseas. I went to his church. I preached at his church. I then invited him here. He came to our soup kitchen in downtown Denver. He saw how the soup kitchen operated. He'd never seen anything like it. So then I flew back with him to his country. He opened up a soup kitchen there and a shelter for prostitute women and for mothers with single children. He saw how we operated it, and he duplicated it. And Jesus says, you know, make disciples of all men. Sometimes it's a matter of just showing people what you do, and then they copy it, and they take it, and they run with it. Well, that's what he did. And so today he's got soup kitchens and works that are mirrored after our own ministry that God has done in Swaziland and Mozambique and South Africa. And from that time on until the present, God has been such a blessing to introduce me to so many people around the world. Pastor Yusuf Korsen of Cameroon. This is actually from Cameroon. I baptized people in the muddy creeks, crocodile infested, people that were so happy to get down in the water and have the Holy Spirit fall all over them and have Jesus in their hearts. So this has been all muddied up, and I got it clean just for tonight. So we've been to Cameroon. We've been to Nigeria, where Pastor Donato Sumbamara has taken the same example of what we've done. He's established several different churches all throughout Nigeria. He's earnestly reaching out not only to the people of Aba and to Lagos. He's also reached out to a very, very difficult field to harvest in, which is the Muslim areas of northern Nigeria. He's reaching Christ by learning of what we've done. When we're here in Denver, we take gospel tracts. We reach out to the homeless, the down, the out, and the poor. We go in the bars. We get kicked out. We go in the restaurants. We get kicked out. We go up and down the streets, and people sometimes just fall on their knees and say, God has sent you. They have followed our same example and done things that they've never done in their countries, pass out gospel tracts, opened up soup kitchens. We've been to Myanmar, where we were able to build an orphanage. When Cyclone Nargis hit, there were thousands of people that were killed. And 2 days before the cyclone hit, we were able to build a teak structure next to their bamboo structure. The cyclone hit, the bamboo structure was destroyed, and we got the kids transferred to the teak structure. Not a single orphan was killed. God is good, isn't he? So God has done many things. In India, we've reached out with Pastor Paul Savanas, who has reached out into Kerala district, into Chennai, into the northern parts of Upper Pradesh and Andhra Pradesh, reaching Hindus with the gospel. And we've done this all around the world with our ministry. In April of last year, I was actually in March of last year, or February, Pastor Roger called me and mentioned the Carpenter's Cupboard. I've known of the Carpenter's Cupboard through Vern and Ruth Howell, and also through Bud and what's his wife's name? Gretchen Widenack. And they had asked me to consider taking it over, and I prayed about it. I didn't hear anything from God. I had no red lights, no stop, don't go into Asia Minor, nothing like that. It was a simple, just go unless I say stop. And I stepped into it, and as I began to step into it, God provided. And by the way, I want to say thank you tonight. There are many people here tonight that help out with Carpenter's Cupboard, and I want to say God bless you and thank you right from the front here. I really appreciate your help. We couldn't do it without you. Today, a couple of years ago, we have figures where Carpenter's Cupboard has reached out to over 40 to 45,000 families, not just in the Wheat Ridge area, but the whole entire metro area. There are Russians that come, Belarusians. There are people from Eastern Europe. There are people from Aurora, people from North Glen, Thornton, all the way down to Littleton, Wheat Ridge, Golden, and beyond that come and get food. And they're not just coming to get food, but they're coming to hear. People are asking me. They pull me to the side, and they say, would you pray for me? Would you do this? Would you do that? Not necessarily people that are Christians, just people that see the Lord in us and want someone to reach out and someone to help them. So we're praying with people. We're providing food. We've done an overhaul of the food bank, so we'd like you to come, and I'd like to invite you to come. April the 3rd, we're going to provide a dinner for you. If you want to bring something, you're welcome to do so. If not, come anyways. And your price of admission is just a can of food. How many of you think you can do that? All right. Pastor George and Roger raised their hands. So I'd love to see you guys do the same. So we're doing all of this because of the Lord, and we need your help. It takes about $8,000 a month to run the place with rent, with trucks. One of our trucks just broke down. We need gas, insurance, rent, all kinds of things. And right now, what do you think is in this cupboard right here? Anybody want to take a guess? What do you think is in it? Food? You think food's in it? I'll show you. Are you ready? Okay. You see what's in it? That's what our cupboards look like at the food bank right now. Now, this church has reached out and time and time and time again filled our shelves with canned goods. And the Carr Street campus, Pastor Gary and his wife, they've done a drive and they've helped out and filled our shelves. Our challenge is that we get so many people every day, we can't keep anything on the shelves. We're constantly running out and getting stuff. So what we're instituting is, and I want you guys to pray on this, is what's called the 52 plan. The 52 plan is very, very simple. It takes 52 weeks out of the year, and we're going to try to get churches alongside with Faith Bible Chapel to sponsor a week out of the year with canned goods and boxed food. You can do this also with your business, with your work site. You can bring it down anytime, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're there 3 days a week. Our goal is to open more days and to minister to more people because the need is huge. Whenever there's a holiday, the people triple. And you know, we've never completely run out of food. We've always had a potato or an onion or a bag of coleslaw. There's always something. But we run low because the need is great. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. That means the government's not going to solve the problem. We won't solve the problem, but we can help in a small way. Amen? So I want to say thank you for helping our ministry, David Clifton Ministries, The World for Jesus, which goes all around the world. And we've been asked to go to Kenya this November. We were donated 10 acres of land to build an orphanage. And anyone that wants to go to that, go look on our website. It's theworldforjesus.net. You can see instructions on there on how to get involved with that, how to pray for it, how to become a part of it. We also have a section for the Carpenter's Cupboard now. And what I'd love to do is see our shelves full. So come April 3rd, come and have dinner, bring canned goods. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for getting involved, and thank you for being a part. God bless you, and we love you.
Almost all of you know Jason and Cheryl King. They've been with us. They've been our youth pastors. Let's give them a big hand. They were youth pastors for a number of years. And, you know, God has always had missions on their hearts. And they've been doing short-term missions trips with youth. They've had a chance to go down in Texas and be a part of a big missions program there. God has shown them recently that they're to go to England and start house churches and work with young adults. The young population in England is desperately needs the Lord. So we're going to have them share. Welcome, Jason and Cheryl.
Thank you, Pastor Roger, Pastor George. It's very humbling to be up here and to be sharing about missions after a couple guys like this who've really been rocking the world and bringing people to Christ, and especially after following Jesus. That's a big deal. So anyway, thank you. I have a lot to live up to. But, you know, God has done a great work in our lives. We stepped out of staff position here about 2 years ago, and God was leading us on a new pathway and a new journey. And you know, if you follow the Lord long enough, you'll find that you come into those journeys where things are really great, and then one day you wake up and you feel like God's saying, "Hey, I think I want to change in your life." And that's what happened with my wife and I. We graduated Bible College in 2002, and there was a very strategic moment that God set us in Bible College. And we were sitting together. We were married. We got married in between our freshman and sophomore year. I was like, I'm not doing 3 years of school without marrying this girl. So we got married, and we were sitting there praying for missions. And as they were putting up people on the screen and we were praying for them, and this is before we ever went on a mission trip, we saw this name and it said, so-and-so, missionaries to the world. And we read that and we began to weep. And you know, when God breaks your heart, something goes deep, really deep, and it begins to shape you and mold you. And from that point on, God had directed our pathway to do missions. And so while we were here on staff, I know it was poor Pastor George, I was probably asking him every month if I could go on a mission trip somewhere. And he said, "No, you do have a job, Jason." So we did that, and we were able to take trips. But God has really captured our hearts with missions. And we knew it was a time 2 years ago that we had to step out. And God really knocked on our hearts and he said this, "Jason and Cheryl, what are you going to do with the missions call on your life?" And when God asks you, "What are you going to do?" He's like, "Get back to me whenever you want to." It demands an answer. And for us, we said, we're going to answer it. And so we took a step, and God led us down a very unique pathway for us. He led us to San Antonio. God did some supernatural things while we were there. One of them was he allowed us to record a worship CD totally for free, and it was just this dream of mine that I'd always done. So we recorded a CD. If you're interested in having one, you can grab one on your way out today. There's just some great mission songs on here, and we hope it ministers to your life. But it allowed us to do a CD. But while we were there, we went into this place of transition, wondering, God, what do you want from us? Where do you want us to go? Our original place we thought we were going, God said no. And so we said, God, we're not going to move until you speak. And one evening, we were doing something very spiritual. We were watching television. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but we do it. We just once a week is what we allow. So we were watching television, and the Spirit of the Lord came into the room, and it was like something we never experienced before. And he simply said this, "England." And when he said it, it shook the core of my heart, and I began to weep. And we had this map of Great Britain, and we've done some ministry there before. And I pulled the map out, and I was laid it on the carpet, and just began to call out names of these towns I couldn't pronounce. And I began to pray for the royal family and call them by name. And I was praying for every possible thing I could think of, strange things. Just I was calling it out. And at that moment, we believe God placed in us a seed of a burden for the nation of England. And even at that point, I thought, does England even need missionaries? I don't understand this, God. Missions is usually the hard place, and we were willing to go there. And we've had a great honor of ministering in over 15 different nations, doing leadership training. It's been our heart. But God, England, I don't understand. And so we said, God, what do you want us to do? And he simply said this, I want you to get your feet on the ground. So in April of 2010, my wife and I and my two kids, we showed up in England and began to seek and pray and see what God would have for us. And after this amazing set of circumstances that we don't have enough time to share, God brought us into a relationship with a pastor that I met on a road stop on the side of the M5 in England, that we connected through an email. And I shared with him my heart and my burden for England. And he was calling us very specifically to the forgotten areas of Britain. And while we were there, we were overwhelmed with the statistics and the spiritual wasteland that we saw before us. This nation that I once read about through college, the great men of God, that their ministry rippled around the world, and that you and I are here today because of their ministry. All of that had died. And all of a sudden we heard that the young generation is 3 to 5 generations removed from the gospel. We heard that between 1998 and 2011, 1 million people stopped going to church on Sundays. That 5% of the UK adult population go to church at least once a week. Now, that's not bad. With the US, we're 43 to 45% of us go to church once a week. And the latest statistic shows that probably it's around 2% of the adult population go to church once a week in the UK. Now listen, this is the place of the great revivals. Evan Roberts, the Welsh revival that exploded around the world, that people would walk past the church and be convicted and weep. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of people came to know Christ on this soil that we stood, and we were confronted with these statistics. That up to 4,000 churches will be closed by 2020 if congregations continue to shrink to the current rates. In 1996, a report was published that showed that church attendance for ages 14 to 17 dropped 35% since 1987. And if this rate continues, there will be a minimal amount, almost no young people in the church by 2016. And we were confronted. And they also, the latest statistics is that by 2035, the UK will be a Muslim nation. Now listen, we don't say this to say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. We say this in our hearts to say, the stage is setting for something very significant in the UK. Because the drier the ground, the hotter the fire. And we believe that. And God has opened up a door for us on the west coast of England, coming alongside an existing ministry. We're partnering with a CPI, which is a church planting initiative group, as well as another mission organization called the IGO, International Gospel Outreach. And God has allowed us over the last year and a half to travel back and forth and to do the groundwork for our launch. We're here transitioning to the UK once our paperwork is finished. And we are so expectant, and we are in communications with this ministry, and we're going to come alongside that. We're going to plant a church / a sister work for youth and young adults. Our vision is to empower other believers, young people, to do what we're doing and to empower them and give the leadership infrastructure to do it all around the nation of England. We've asked God. We read the Great Commission, and he says, go and make disciples of nations. God has nations on his heart, and we are believing, and we're asking you to believe with us for the nation of England. In my heart, I believe that England is the next great hot spot for a move of God, and we have feel like we've been invited to be a part of it. And so we are launching, and we're going in a new realm, a new walk of faith, and God has been extremely faithful. And so for us, the picture you just saw up there, if we could put it up one more time, this is the church that we're partnering with alongside. And it's this brick church, just a second, but it's an old Salvation Army. It's really old. Right there. It's called Gospel Center. It's an old Salvation Army building, and they've been doing ministry there for a really, really long time. But while we've been there, we had some amazing times there. Let me show you the picture of Burnham. This is the city we're going to. Looks like an awesome city, and God's going to do something great there. But the tide comes out 3/4 of a mile, so it's pretty neat. And we see that significant as the tide rushes in very fast will also be what God's going to do there. And so we're walking. We're taking our first steps. We're launching. We're stepping out by faith. And God's been very gracious to us. And we started a mission organization. But we really believe God wanted us to pioneer a new path for other people to follow. And for us to kind of get some of the hard knocks on our heads so other people don't have to. And I have a hard head. Just ask Cheryl. And we're believing that God allows for us to really start a movement and to start fires throughout the UK. And that's our heart, and that's what we believe God's called us to do. And so we do covet your prayers. We so are so appreciative of your friendship through the years and your support of Cheryl and I and your belief in us and for not running us out of town, but embracing us as family members. We've become a family of this church called Faith. And we thank you for that. And just be praying for us, for our kids, and as we get all of our stuff in order, just hold us up in prayer. And we believe, and you will see it, that God's going to do something very significant in the nation of England. And it's grassroots. It's brand new. It doesn't exist. And just real quick, just one more story. The church that we're partnering with is a mega church of about 60 folks. And that's a pretty good sized church in the area where we're going. There are no ministries that are targeting youth and young adults at all. And I got a text a couple months ago. No, it was about a month ago. And he says, Jason, we had 110 people in church today. Now, that's great. He says, but now listen, most of the congregations are in their older life. They're elderly people who are serving the Lord faithfully, but there have been no outreach to the younger. And he says, Jason, we've doubled. We had 110 people at church this morning. And all of these new people are youth and young adults. And this is a pastor who he's told me, Jason, God has called me to serve the older generation. And then he goes, get here quick. I don't know what to do with him. And so God is going before us. He's paving the way for a great harvest in the UK. So thank you very much. Yeah.
I'm just asking you guys to please pray for us. You know, it's a big misconception, I believe, in the American church that England is just like us, but they are spiritually dying. And when we went with our kids, we stayed with the family who had a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. And our kids, who are so on fire for Jesus, would talk about the Lord a lot. And finally, their kids looked at their mom and said, who's this Jesus they're talking about? And it really threw me back because they're England. They speak the same language as us. They're just like us, but they're not. And they're a nation that needs Jesus. And so we do covet your prayers. We want you to know and be aware of, just like Jason said, we believe the embers are still burning, and all you have to do is blow on those embers, and a fire will ignite. So, bless you guys.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, guys. I just wish our whole congregation could hear these stories, and there are so many of them. Well, so that we're not guilty of just hearing good stories and getting excited about what other people are doing, it's our turn to step forward and answer the call on all of our lives. And I think God's asking, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going? I don't feel like I'm called there, I have this, but there is something that we can do. So for the next moments, I pray that your heart will be open to this challenge.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.